Welcome to another episode of Bible Talk with Andrew and Jimmy. I'm Jimmy Holland.
And I'm Andrew.
And we are so grateful that you've made the decision to be a part of this episode. We just always like to start off by saying thank you for those of you who take the time each week to be a part of this.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for watching and listening and giving us feedback. We appreciate it so much.
And we hope y'all have a great Christmas this week.
Merry Christmas.
I can't believe it's the week of Christmas.
I can't believe it's already here. I was talking to Alyssa this morning about that very thing, and like I remember yesterday that we did something in March, and I was like, man, that... Well, when we did that, it seemed like it was last week.
I know.
It just went by so quick this year. I will say this. Alyssa and I have been so, so busy. And so we talked about 2025. We said, you know, one of her goals needs to be just slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
And try to get some stress off her plate,
sure,
so to speak.
Well, I think a lot of times we equate busyness with success or productivity. And sometimes, you know, I think back to the verse, "Be still and know that I'm God." And I think about Jesus going off early in the morning. By sometimes we need to do just that. We need to slow down, because busy doesn't always equate to,
yeah,
success or productivity.
Exactly. Yep, it's a hard lesson to learn.
It is.
But eventually we learn it, I guess.
It absolutely. Callie busted this one out a couple days ago. She said, "I'm going to be 12 in 5 months." And then we got to count, and we're like, nope, it's less than four. Like, it's right at four. It's crazy.
That's
it's
so crazy.
But, you know, time is going quickly, and, you know, the older you get, the more it does, you know, it goes. And so we need to get back to talking about, why are we Christians? Why are we still Christians? Yep. And, you know, this idea or this decision to become a child of God is the single greatest decision. But it's not just starting, you know, making the decision to become a Christian. It's we have to decide to stay faithful to Him and to live for Him. Because it's not just about starting, it's about finishing.
And, exactly.
And He makes it possible. So if we're going to talk about why am I still a Christian, I feel like we have to talk about the subject of sin. Is that fair?
That's fair. Yeah, you know, this morning we watched a scene from The Star. You know, it just seemed like the time of year it is to watch it and incorporate it into a lesson. And that's what we did. But in that scene, you have two dogs that walk in and they walk up to the baby. And they say, "Does this mean we have to be good dogs now?" And one of them says, "We have to try." And when you talk about sin, you know, when I become a Christian, I'm a new creation. Romans 6:4,
yeah.
I have to try, you know, not to sin. I have to try to form myself like a potter in clay, try to form myself into the image of Christ, and what is His will for me. You know, everything changes at that point. And as we've discussed, you know, God is looking for a heart change.
Yeah.
And that requires us to figure out what His will is for us.
Yeah, and just because I become a Christian doesn't mean my sin problem stops.
Yeah.
I'm still going to, and if anything, Satan doesn't have me anymore, so he's going to come at me harder than he's ever come at me after me, which is why we have the armor of God in Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 10, because we need it. But let's talk about this idea of sin and what it is, because, you know, we live in a world that says it's only sinful if somebody finds it offensive. Like, it's sin is there's not really a clear-cut sin. It's more of a social construct, mm-hmm, type of thing. And we need to be very, very clear that sin is a real thing.
Yeah.
And what is sin? And I always like to go to 1 John 3. There's a lot of places you can go, but I like to go to 1 John 3 because verse 4 gives us a really good definition of sin. It says that sin is that which transgresses God's law. It goes against God's law. Sin is transgression, is what it says. And I thought it would be good for us to start by having a little bit of a discussion on why has God determined that certain things are sinful and that certain things are not? Because, you know, and so why is sin such a bad thing? Why does God say that these things are sinful?
Well, it destroys the soul, number one. But even in our own lives, we see how it destroys.
Yeah.
It started in the Garden of Eden, how the serpent tempted Adam and Eve. What did he do? He put something in front of them that enticed them. Well, that's what sin is.
Yeah.
You know, so.
It looks good, doesn't it?
It looks good.
It looks good. And I think of Hebrews 11, 24, and 25 when it talks about Moses refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of Israel. And then it says this, to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Like, mm-hmm. Satan's really good at making sin look pretty. And it's appealing. And if it wasn't, it wouldn't be a temptation. We wouldn't want to do it. And it is enjoyable. It's pleasurable, but it's short-lived. And yep. Then you have the leftovers.
Yeah. And then you have selfishness, which we talk about with temptation. You know, the reason we sin is because of selfishness.
Yeah, it's what we want.
It's the whole thing that God is really against, is selfishness, you know. So,
I was watching a movie. Lori and I were watching a movie with the kids this week, and it's a book that Callie is reading for her book club. Mm-hmm. And so she heard that it was a movie. She wanted to watch the movie. And in this movie, all the main characters are really, really hungry. And there's this character named Red comes up, and he offers them food. And it looks fantastic. It looks really good. And then one of the characters takes a bite, and he says it tastes like sand. And then reality hits, and it wasn't real food at all. It was just an illusion. And that's what sin is. It offers, and then what you get is sand.
Yep. And if we're not careful, though, and I just, you know, I'm thinking about this as we go on in the podcast, what sin does is you keep sinning, and then it's like all of a sudden you realize where you're at.
Yeah.
How far you've drifted away from God. You know, again, in class this morning, we talked about Jesus, and he's in the temple, and his parents have lost him, and they've went a day's journey out of Jerusalem. They're there for the Passover. They went a day's journey, and it just says they assumed that Jesus was there. And we made the application that how many times do we assume that Jesus is there, and then all of a sudden we turn back and go, where is he?
Yeah.
You know, and I think sin does that sometimes, is we don't often realize until it's like, what have I done?
Well, and it's this, though, because Satan is really, really good at what he does. And if you look at Hebrews 12, for example, in 1 and 2, it talks about, Hebrews 2, 1 and 2. Hebrews 2, 1 and 2 talks about that very thing of drifting. Mm-hmm. And the Hebrew writer says, let us pay much closer attention to the things that are written, lest we drift away from them. And that's what Satan does. He chips away at us a little bit of a time. It's a little sin here. It's a little sin there. You know, it's not a big lie. It's a little lie. Mm-hmm. You know, but Ephesians 4:26 says put off falsehood, like, completely. So why does God say that? Because, you know, we talk about how sin destroys, and it does. Sin takes us further than we want to go. It costs us more than we want to pay, and it keeps us longer than we want to stay. Cliche, but it's a true statement. But you see it progressing there. And so it starts small, and it builds. And it is if apostasy or falling away or becoming unfaithful happened overnight, we would be... You know, that I think that's what we're guarding. You know, we're guarding against the big sin that's going to bring me away from. But we fail to realize that sin is sin. But it's these little what we think are little things that build and build and build to the point where we wake up and we realize I never intended to get here.
Exactly.
But now I'm in a place I don't need to be and I don't want to be.
Yep. So there's so many ways that sin, you know, just it destroys the soul and the body, and we need to be careful. So sin is sin. Sin is real. And if we're not careful, it's going to destroy us. So are you struggling with sin? Well, you're not alone. No. We all do.
Yeah.
So how do we deal with it?
Well, I think we need to understand that when God says something is wrong, it's because he's not trying to keep us from having abundant life. In fact, John 10 and verse 10 says the exact opposite. The thief comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So he cares about that. And he wants that. But because he's the creator, you look at Genesis 1 and 2. After he created everything, it was good. After he created us, it was very good. And then it's not until you see Genesis 3 that sin enters the picture. And it's because God understands it hurts us. It's not good for us. It leads to destruction. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, all of this. And so when I obey the gospel and I become a Christian, I like how you referenced Romans 6:4. You know, it's a new, you get to walk a new life. 2 Corinthians 5 says we're a new creation. Romans 6:16 and 17 says we're the slave of whatever we obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. And he says, thanks be to God.
Yep.
Thanks be to God that you've been set free. You've obeyed the teaching from the heart, and you've been set free from sin.
Yep.
And so I've got to understand that, number one, I've been set free from sin, which means I have a choice. I can say no.
Yep.
And if I've been set free from the bondage of sin, the rest of that chapter tells me that I need to behave as if I've been set free.
Yeah. Well, just, you know, what you quoted before that, Romans 7, Paul's talking about what a wretch man he is.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's struggling with sin. And it goes back to, you're not alone. But notice what he does. He goes, quit focusing on how bad you are and focus on how great God is.
Yeah.
You know, he goes, here's who I am. I'm a wretch man. He even calls himself a chief of sinners somewhere else. But
1 Timothy 1:15.
Yeah. 1 Timothy 1:15. But he goes, thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
How many times do we see Paul give thanks to God?
Absolutely. And I love you bringing up Romans 7, because you can hear the frustration, because he asks the question, like, who's going to save it? Like, who's going to, you know, I do the things that I hate. I don't do the things that I should do. You know, basically, who can fix this? Mm-hmm. And then it's thanks be to God. And, you know, we look at our sin problem sometimes and we think it's impossible. I can't do this on my own. Paul looked at his sin problem and he saw the size of his God. He saw the size of his Savior.
Yep.
And that, hey, my God is bigger. You know, my God can help me deal with all of these things. Like, there is a way out of this.
Yep.
And I think that's a good reminder for us.
Absolutely. It's a reminder of the love that God has
Absolutely,
for us.
Absolutely.
Last night, on our way home from Christmas in Tennessee, we were actually talking about our salvation, you know, and how important it is. And I said, sometimes we just don't realize how important it is.
I agree.
Like, God loves us so much. And even, you know, we're talking about sin and today's podcast, and I said, you know, angels disobey God, they were thrown down, that was it for them.
Yeah.
I said, for us, you know, we sin and we have a Savior who's pleading on our behalf. But not only that, you read 1 Peter, I think it's in chapter 1 verses 11 through 14, it talks about how the angels long to look after our salvation. And it reminds me that we can't even understand it. But that's, again, the love of God and how big he is and how much he loves us.
Well, and when you look at that, or you look at 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, a passage we talked about in the sermon this morning about how God is faithful. And he tempers temptation. And you look at all of that, and we see the armor of God that we mentioned earlier in Ephesians 6. You look at all of that, and it shows us that God, he's not left us alone when it comes to this sin problem.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's because he loves us. It's because he's not saying, hey, you've got to figure this out on your own. You better, you know, sin is going to, but you got to do it on your own. He's like, he tells us why it's such a problem. He shows us how it destroys us. And then he's like, here's everything that I'm doing to help you continue to overcome it. Like, he didn't leave us alone. Like, he's never left us alone.
Yep.
And that's a beautiful thought.
Absolutely. So let's talk about Jesus for a second. You know, I mentioned 1 John 1 really says he's our intercessor. You know, Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us in our weaknesses. You know, Jesus was also tempted by the devil. We know in Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 3, you know, he does mm-hmm. understand. And I think a lot of times when we fall into sin, we're so afraid to bring ourselves to God in repentance or godly sorrow because he's ashamed of us. And that's not true.
No.
You know, he wants to hear from us all the time. And how cool is it that, yes, Jesus came in human form, and he did experience what we experience, Hebrews 4:15, and he still went to the cross, he was raised, went and sat at the right hand of God, and is still pleading on our behalf.
Absolutely.
You know, and all that, it's just, it's so, again, it gets emotional even during the Lord's Supper. It's like, but he's still pleading on our behalf.
Yeah.
On the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. And even then, you know, to me, if I'm on that cross, I'm like, you can't forgive them, you know. But he did, and then he goes, okay, well, I'm still going to plead on your behalf.
Yeah, and it, when I look at that, and we're going to answer this question in just a minute, like how do we keep sin from reigning in our lives?
Yeah.
Because that's really the question. Like, being a Christian does not mean that I don't sin from time to time. What separates a Christian from a non-Christian is not sinless perfection. It's whether sin is reigning over the individual or not. Mm-hmm. A Christian will repent. You know, we were talking about some godly grief, you know, that sin brings grief, and it does.
It should, yes.
You know, 2 Corinthians 7 makes it clear that there's two types of grief. There's grief that leads to repentance, and then there's grief that leads to death. And it's the worldly grief, this "I'm sorry I got caught," that leads to death, versus this godly sorrow. I can't believe I did this against God.
Yeah.
You know, and to your point, like, you just did a great job laying out the gospel. You know, Jesus dying for us and everything. Like, that was the price of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do we deal with sin? Like, how do we keep from sin taking control in our... Like,
Look at the cross.
Like, that... You want to talk about how, like, what sin really looks like. The cross. Yeah. Like, the cross paints the picture of sin. Is that fair?
That's fair.
And,
well, where is it? Is it first? 2 Peter, it talks about him dying on a tree.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
us.
Coming, and, yeah. You know, and you know, you look at that, and it... You think you said something earlier about sometimes we forget how important our salvation is. Like, I think we can forget how terrible sin actually is sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, and we look at the big sins. Like, we what we would call the big sins. Like, we look at sins, like murder. Like, we look at murder, or we look at abuse, or things, and we're like, yeah, we can see the we don't always see how terrible a little lie is.
Yeah.
We don't always see how being unkind is, but it's destructive, and it costs.
Yeah. Well, we're told there is no measure of sin. You know, they're all the same. But we even look in the Old Testament where people were forgiven for murder. You know, you look at Psalm 51 with David, who murdered Bathsheba. Why? Because it was godly sorrow.
Yeah.
It was real repentance there. That's why he was forgiven. But 1 Peter 2:24 is that verse.
Yeah.
He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been saved. So yeah, look at the cross.
Yeah.
When,
well, I mean, you look at Romans 6, 1 and 2, where Paul says, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How are we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" And it's in that context that Paul talks about being buried with Christ and being mm-hmm. raised to walk in newness of life. And, you know, it's this idea of, listen, this is destructive. This brings you down. And this ultimately leads to death. I have something so much better over here, but you actually have to, like, I'll help you, but you can't love it anymore. You can't want this.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And because this is what it cost.
Yep.
This is what this cost. And I think if we really remember that, whether it's being dishonest, no matter what the sin is, it loses its appeal.
Yep. Absolutely. So, you know, sin reigning in our lives, if we're not careful, again, does lead to destruction. Why? Because God wants a heart change. It's time for us to put off the old self and put on the new self. So if sin is still reigning in my life, how do I overcome it? How do I get rid of it? And number one is, you have to want to.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's number one, is having a will to do it.
Which goes back to looking to the cross.
Absolutely.
Because what's going to give you that want to?
The cross. Exactly. So I have to have the will to do it. And once I have the will to do it, you know, all of a sudden you're going to want things that God wants. Why? Because you love your Father. You know, first and greatest command, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind.
Yeah.
So if I love God, a lot of things are going to take care of itself. And it took me a while to realize that, hey, if I love Him enough, then everything else will start to fall into place. Does that mean I won't struggle with sin anymore? No, it doesn't. But it does provide a lot of clarity of, you know, no, that's not enticing anymore. That's not what I want for my life.
Yeah, and when we do sin, it's I don't want to keep doing this. I want to stop. And so even how I pray, like, yeah, I pray, God, forgive me, but I'm also praying, you know, very specific, you know, prayers on, God, I need help in this area, this area, this area. And it's also, you know, I'm you know, to want to. When we want to do things, we make preparation for it.
Yep.
How often are we making preparation not to sin? I think a lot of times we make zero preparation, and then we're somewhat shocked when we find ourselves in the midst of temptation and then we give in. Like, if I will make better choices,
yep.
if I will prepare. And that goes back to, you know, how do we keep sin from reigning in our lives? We submit our will for God's will.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we start, you know, looking at things God's way, then we set ourselves up for success, not failure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, number one is having the will to do it. Number two is you need to surround yourself with people like Faith.
Yeah.
You know, we need encouragement. You know, we're not made to do this alone.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've heard that before, but you need a family or friends who support you and encourage you. So you need to hang around the right crowd, spend a lot of time in prayer. What are some other things you think of?
I mean, all of that. We need to understand how important we are to each other.
This is a story about how my life got turned upside down. I'm just kidding. The recording quit during the middle of the podcast, so I'm not sure what happened. But if you want to finish listening to the podcast, you can go to our Facebook page, Fort Payne Church of Christ, and listen to the last 2 minutes there. If not, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your support. If you have any questions, you can submit those to me and Jimmy by texting us or going to Messenger on Facebook at the Fort Payne Church of Christ and send some questions there. Thank you so much for listening or watching, and we hope that you have a fantastic week.